If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
We need to create wealth, but not for the sake of more achievement, not for the sake of more status, not for the sake of buyer happiness, but for the sake of knowing how much it costs to live a damn good life that's about me and nobody else, how much money's enough for me.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Today's episode, we're going to talk something that's not necessarily directly related to scaling commercial real estate. We're going to talk about one of the key components of scaling commercial real estate, and that is money. We have Christina Wise on today. She's made it her life's work to master money. She's a self-made multimillionaire, and she has training and experience that has built proven systems that work in both good and challenging times. She nearly lost her life in 2013 and spent $500,000 to recover. And now her mission is to help others build extraordinary wealth and optimal health. You can learn more about her money school for microbusiness owners at sovereigntyacademy.com. That will be in the show notes. I'm super excited to have Christina on today. So Christina, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure. So happy to be here.
Oh man, this is great. I'm excited to hear your story. If you can just give us an idea of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Wow. You know, that could be an hour long conversation right there, right? We all have our life stories, but mine starts pretty simple. When we're talking about money and wealth creation, my story started in a trailer home, like no joke. It wasn't even a double wide. It was a travel trailer. So that's where I started, those beginnings, that environment, that type of mindset, really. But from a young age, I learned how it felt not to have money, to be made fun of, to get always secondhand clothes, to be on a student lunch program. And I didn't like it. I just didn't like that whole feeling, being recognized as one of those kids that comes from the other side of the tracks. And so from a young age, I just realized that to be entrepreneurial was the way to make money. So, I mean, as a kid, I was figuring out anything I could sell. And, you know, to make that little bitty extra cash, you know, and then I got to buy things. It's like, whoa, you know, and I got to fit in. And so that was really great, that experience, in the sense that I really attached to money at that stage of life, to feeling better, to being in a different group of people, and to be accepted as opposed to being made fun of. So that took me really, you know, through putting myself through college and, you know, all of that part of the story, just from always wanting to make money, always good at making money, loving to work and loving, again, that return we get from putting that effort out. And the great thing about real estate sales back when I was in sales and first starting out just after college was there was no real limit to my income. So I became a pretty high income earner, relatively speaking. In 1 year, I made more than my parents did their entire lifetime.
Wow.
And then some. So, you know, but what happened at that stage is that I didn't understand money in the way that I was great at making it, but I was better at spending it because I bought everything I couldn't buy as a child. I bought everything. Mm-hmm. And really what I was buying was status. Like that same kid type thing or feeling, like the more money I made, the more things I could buy to fit in even more, to be accepted into even more, to be seen even more. And that ultimately sent me to kind of that first existential crisis, financial crisis, where all of a sudden I'm divorced, I'm a single mom, I have no income. I wake up, funny how this happens, but wake up with tax liens and credit card debts. And I mean, I was a primary wage earner, so it's like I couldn't feed my children. I was in really recreating my childhood, but I couldn't put food on the table. Lost everything through the divorce and through all that nonsense. And so that was that next wake-up call, was like, okay, how was it that I made all that money and I'm dead broke? And now I have all this debt on top of me and the IRS knocking on my door. So it became really that moment once I quit feeling sorry for myself and, you know, just thought, all right, Christina, you got yourself into this mess. It's up to you to get yourself out of it. There's something to this money game that is more than meets the eye, because how could it be I made hundreds of thousands of dollars year over year and I'm in this situation? Like, it didn't add up, right? I mean, right. Then I try to work harder to get myself out of that. So that really sent me on this personal journey, this personal desire to figure out the money game, to really figure it out. If there was a method to the madness, I was gonna learn it. So I just went on kind of a a mad study for like a decade to really learn money, to learn how it operates, the principles, the laws, you know, what are the myths, what, you know, what did I buy into that was false? And ultimately over kind of that decade, I went on to build many businesses, to build a lot of wealth, you know, on the balance sheet. So I was well known, like my public identity was, you know, this woman entrepreneur in my hometown of Austin, like everybody knew who I was. I was, again, known as a high income earner, a businesswoman, a technologist, a disruptor. I had all these, I was top in my industry nationwide. And again, I was still connected to that. The more I made and the more social status I had, kind of the better I felt. So I was constantly motivated by external validation, external, no matter what award I got, that wasn't good enough. I needed the next one and the next one and the next one. And ultimately that type of lifestyle, even though now I was out of the, you know, I say paycheck to paycheck or commission to commission, I had some net worth. I had business income that, you know, businesses operated a little bit without me. But what I did is I just burned myself out, not just mentally and emotionally, but physically. And I had a huge health crisis because I was just, I lived a lifestyle that was unsustainable. And it's during that life crisis now, first was a financial crisis. Now I have a health crisis I'm finding myself in, fighting for my life. And it was really on that proverbial deathbed. And literally, it was on that second life crisis where I woke up and realized like, oh my God, my body's my number one asset. So when I'm thinking in terms of asset, if my body's out, I'm out. My right. business is out. My finances are out. And I, you know, we've heard it before. There's a little cliche that says, you know, there are people that work their whole life for the money, and then they use all their money to get, you know, they use all their health to, you know, make right. their money. Then they use all their money to make their health. Well, there I was. I went through, you know, my millions of dollars to save my life and, you know, yada, yada, yada to get out of that crisis. So here we are today from that life experience, and I really teach and share like an integrative, healthy perspective on money and wealth creation, that we need to create wealth, but not for the sake of more achievement, not for the sake of more status, not for the sake of buy our happiness, but for the sake of knowing how much it costs to live a damn good life that's about me and nobody else, how much money's enough for me, and what type of working income is required through my business and through everything that I do, how much working income is required to be able to pay for the cost, underwrite the cost of living my good life with the surplus on top of that. And that surplus is the money that I work to invest to build my portfolio and my assets. And now I'm just really I love to play the money game, and I love to teach the money game, to know that it's kind of a game. And if we get really good at money and we love money and we have a healthy relationship with it, it doesn't own us. We own it. What is not about social status and achievement and symbols, but becomes more about meaning and kind of integrative, a wealthy life, a life that's well in all these life categories, then money can be, just like I said, a really good relationship. And then when we understand the principles and laws and mechanics of building wealth, and how to build out that portfolio. I've built mine through real estate. I've built my net worth and my passive income cash flow, non-working cash flow through real estate, other investments, but primarily real estate. And I've just made that kind of that ambition. And, you know, I have my businesses and I do that. And then I play in my real estate, kind of what you're doing. I improve properties and buy them and sell them and improve them or 1031 them. And, you know, this last 3 months, I've bought one property. I've got another for sale. I've just remodeled another one and I'm just putting that on the market and I'll flip that cash into something else. So that's kind of my side hobby, kind of my private self, if you will. And then my public self is my public identity doing things like this, sure. where, you know, people are aware of me and my business. But so I call that, and that's what I teach too, is this mindset of having both of our hands in the money pot, so to speak, like, and not like we're stirring it. We're building the soup with both of these hands, but we have two pots. And one pot is the income earning, where we're doing our businesses or entrepreneurs or whatever we do to make money. And then the second is the pot of building our wealth and understanding that income and wealth are categorically different. Income is cash flow. Wealth is assets that produce cash flow. So our body, when we're working all the time, that's the asset that produces a cash flow. But ultimately, we want to convert a certain part of the money that we make with our working bodies into assets that becomes the work that replaces our body to produce the cash flow. So anyway, and that's kind of what I call this integrated, holistic approach, not just to wellness and life in general, but how we really integrate our money into the wholeness of our life and into a whole working system.
Right. No, that's fantastic. I mean, that's 10 years is a long introspection period, you know, for you to really go back and just say, hey, why is it that I treat money the way I treat it? Why is it that
I continually find myself in the same position regardless of how much money I made. And I think you'll hear it, maybe if you can speak to this a little bit, but the mindset, you know, there's something in us, and I grew up, you know, without much as well. And so there's something in us that without even, you know, very subconsciously, we find ourselves reproducing whatever it was that we were doing before, because that's what we're comfortable with. And so somehow we have to really get in there and re-gear the way we treat money and the way we see it and what it does for us. So can you talk to us about mindset a little bit?
Yeah, I really teach that, you know, to really get good with money. And what I mean by good, meaning it's working for us versus we feel it's working against us. We're in control of it versus it being in control of us, where sure, we have security and stability and some surplus as opposed to month, regardless of how much money we make. And so what I believe to be true from my own experience and now teaching and you know, working with, you know, all the people I've worked with to date, is that, it, again, to get kind of the wellness piece of money, it's 50% mindset. So to your point, like, what is the money mindset? And I'll talk about that. The other part is skill set. So money is this combination, again, to have this healthy working relationship with this, we're working in tandem with it, and it's helping us create and buy, you know, our lifestyle and our dreams and ambitions. We have to blend these two together, one without the other. Some people just focus on mindset. If you just fix your mindset, all your money's going to work out. It's like, no, money's knowledge-based. It's a skill. There's a lot you need to know. And just the skill set, though, can really make money at all about the chase and the money and not about what's the meaning of this. So in the mindset piece, one, it's like you're talking to some of the work that is to begin with. It's really uncovering, what did my parents say? What dysfunctions, what beliefs do I have about money that I'm recreating? Because we are programmed by the age 7 to 9. So if we, in any category of life, like relationships, we're probably reliving our parents' relationship unless we've looked at that and like, that doesn't work for me. I want to see what I've like picked up to change it. So we pick up everything, including money, what our parents said, were our parents married, divorced, did mom do it, did dad do it, did they fight about it, they talk about it at the dinner table, was it a healthy thing, was it a bad thing? So most of us grow up scared of money because money was an unstable topic in the household, or at least completely ignored altogether. So we avoid it one way or another. So that's the first thing. It's just really looking at it and getting over by acknowledging and becoming aware of these childhood beliefs that we've carried forward. Once we become aware, we don't have to relive those anymore. So that's the mindset. The other piece, then that's kind of familial, how we grew up. The other part is the cultural mindset. And we live in consumerism. Our culture is consumeristic. We buy our happiness. Everybody says, you're not good enough unless you have a Mercedes. You're not good enough unless you have a Rolex. You're not good enough unless you can go on this type of vacation. You're not good enough if you don't look a certain way. So we're being programmed through advertising and through our culture all the time. And that's just going into our subconscious minds and our psyche. So again, we're living this out according to the program that's going in if we're not aware that's what's happening to us. And we have this biology that's really driven by dopamine. It's that quick feel good. So we buy an Amazon. It feels really good when we click the buy button. That package shows up the door. There's another little dopamine hit. And it can become like any other addiction. You know, it's like, because if we're not in control of that dopamine spike, next thing we know, we just keep buying that next little dopamine spike without even knowing it. So part of the mindset shift is knowing, again, just becoming aware that that's the culture we're in, and we can't buy our happiness. Really? A lot of, you know, there's that cliche that says, you know, money can't make you happy. And it's, I don't necessarily agree with that, because money can bring a lot of happiness, but you can't buy your happiness.
Right.
That's the distinction. You can't say, I'm sad, I'm going to go buy. It's like, you can't buy your happiness with money any more than you can buy love. Sure. You can't do it. So when we get out of money makes me happy, like buying something makes me happy, we get out of the external, you know, that was something I had to break. I had to get out of me attaching my self-worth and how I felt about myself, what other people thought. So that big part of the mindset shift is being aware of that, saying what others think is none of my business, and I don't want to live my life and my money to rule that thing. And they get more attached to the meaning of money, how it feels when it's meaningful, when it's helping us live out our dreams and our intentions and our goals and our ambitions, what we want for our family and our legacy and our health and our wellness and our community. You know, we get attached to that's what money can do, is create right. A lot of joy, because it's helping me underwrite the cost of living a meaningful life, regardless of what anybody else thinks. This is my journey. Then we can shift it. Then we can organize all of our money about our life journey again and get out of this external reward game that's prevalent, and it's It's the water we're swimming in. It's everywhere. So to kind of extract ourselves and see that we're in it is one thing, you know, is kind of step one. And then step two is like, I just don't want to participate in that anymore. So I teach some of the different philosophies is getting out of like consumerism. That's just kind of our culture. And maybe connect with I like replacing things. So versus just saying, don't do that. I like saying, okay, if I don't eat ice cream, maybe I can do coconut ice cream, you know, it's like something that's, you know, what's my replacement? And so if it's not consumerism, what's a different philosophy we can trade for? And I, you know, some of mine is like stoicism and essentialism and minimalism, which are these deep rooted philosophies that I really embody that really define, you know, kind of who I think I am. And then they're guides or models and narratives that keep me in check. Like, you know, that it's like, okay, I don't need a lot of stuff to make me happy. I'm proving to myself all the time, the more money I have, the less I need.
Right.
I'm just simplifying my life and downsizing my life. And what is that created for me is ultimately the one thing that I think we're all desiring. We sometimes say it, but what our like internal, why our purpose on life is freedom. And there's financial freedom that people talk about. Yes, I have financial freedom in the sense that money from my assets pays for the cost of my lifestyle. I keep my lifestyle, you know, relatively speaking to the money I make, you know, pretty affordable, I'd say. But with that, I'm just realizing that the less stuff that I have, the less complex my life is, the fewer payments that I have. Not only do I have that financial freedom piece, I'm just more free. I'm just more light. I'm just not tied down to all these like things that used to strap me down. That the more money I made, the more things I bought, the more things I had, the less freedom I had.
Right.
Where I thought it was buying me more.
Right.
So again, I think there's just all these new awarenesses that can come out. And ultimately, it's just when you start feeling this place of freedom, it's just a different way to live. It's just radically different. It's kind of the opposite of constant anxiety and stress and conflict and complexity. And when I get there, maybe things will be easier. It's like, no, we can start to choose that right now.
Right. That's clutch. You've shared so many golden nuggets with us. I'm not sure I can go back and recap them right now. I'd love to jump into the final four if we can. Because I think we could go on this topic for hours. The first question would be, of course, and let's keep this all about money. So if you were to give one piece of money advice to an aspiring real estate investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
I just say, be a student of money. Just be a student. It's not about the money. It's not about all these grandiose ideas that so much, you know, from my point of view, when, you know, all these people out there talking building wealth and doing this and this and why, like some motivational type speech.
Right.
It's just a lifestyle. Just be a student, be a beginner. Again, know how much money is enough. Go after your, what I call your freedom number, your how much is enough, the meaning of your life, and just be a student and then play the game and have fun, you know? And the final and kind of the second piece to that is know it's a journey. There's no race. You know, there's no race. If this is just part of living, like we brush our teeth and we build our wealth, you know, then it's just day to day. We can get out of that kind of that, oh my God, it's, you know, I'm not there yet. Or, you know, that just frenetic, got to do it right now energy.
Right. Judging yourself by what the bottom line of your 1040 says, you know, at the end of the year, like, oh, I did great. Or no, I didn't. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Well, I think with anything, practice. It doesn't matter that to be on top of any game, we have to be in the game and just doing the work. And if you play a piano, you can be a great pianist, but the day you quit practicing, you're not really a pianist anymore. You were, but you're not. So, you know, it's like anything. It's just be in the game. And like I said, we're a constant student and then apply that knowledge and play around and learn lessons. And sometimes I have big successes. Sometimes I make, you know, a bad judgment call. And it's all part of the growth and learning. Again, when it's not about some be all end all that, you know, I've proven myself then, and it's just part of the journey, then yeah, it's just keep doing the work.
That's awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one way that you are making the world a better place?
There's so many places to give back. You know, right now it's funny, somebody asked me and you know, one way I love giving back is through employing people. I mean, there's all different ways to give back, but I love business and entrepreneurialism. Mm-hmm. I love small business. I hate that some of our small business, you know, choices are kind of being ripped from us right now. That breaks my heart because small business really is, I think, the fabric of this country. And, you know, employing people and giving them employed and help them have purpose and helping grow them and that type of thing. That's one of my best ways to give back. I love employing people. I love building teams. I love being to think that contribution, but it's not a handout. It's a win-win type relationship that everybody gets to go up together, you know, rising tides rides all boats. So that, and then the other thing to answer that question kind of that's really unique to these times is, we can write checks with our money. To me right now, just small acts of kindness, just saying, hello, how are you? Wow. I see you. I hear you. Have a great day. I hope you're well. I hope you're surviving. Is there anything I can do? Right. To me, that's like the biggest gift that I can give. And if I just look at somebody these days and say, man, hi, how are you? You are amazing. I mean, you'd think that I, you know, took them out of a sinking boat or something. So, you know, small acts of kindness, I think, go a long way these days.
Oh, and they do. And they do. And just kind of reiterate your point there. I mean, yeah, the entrepreneur is often overlooked and even despised, it seems, in a lot of circles these days. And there's a lot of really darn good that we do in the world. So good for you for doing what you do on that front. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Kristina.com, which is a K and two S's, KRISSTINA.com. Yes, I got that domain because I bought it a long time ago. But I have a book, I have a free download to my book. I have a pretty short webinar. This is the 5 fundamental truths of money that nobody ever tells you, but they're the 5 truths that make you rich or keep you broke. And then I have a PDF that's just an exercise that those can do that help them get to know their numbers. So anybody can check those out and pick what thinks that they'd be most helpful.
That's awesome. Kristina, thank you for your time. I certainly appreciate it. This was insightful and awesome. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.